Well, let's take our Bibles and look together again at Galatians chapter 6. And my text today is taken from verse 6 down to verse 10. And I've entitled this simply, Sowing and Reaping. Here in Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes, Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. And here it is, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, men is an italic, so do unto all without distinction, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So what are we to make of this particular portion of scripture? I know that there are those that like to hold this over your head and say, you better be careful because you're going to reap what you sow. And so it drives people to consider their own works and their own ways and think, well, I better be careful because if I'm not careful, then I'm not going to reap everlasting life. But that's not what this portion is saying. And this is why we need to be so careful to consider every scripture in light of its context. You notice the context here in verse 6 really has to do with supporting those who are preaching and teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the encouragement here is that those that preach the gospel, such as pastors and evangelists, and we're talking about preaching the true gospel. This is not a call just to support anybody that calls themselves a preacher. I get material all the time with people that are out trying to raise money for their particular missions and their organizations, and they want to come by and have me give them an opportunity to speak during one of our services. Well, I've always told them, no, that's not what we do. And yet I use it as an opportunity to question them and to ask them, well, what is it that you preach? And who is it that you preach? And certainly we're not to give a dime. We're not to encourage anybody on their way that does not hold to the doctrine of Christ. John wrote about that in his epistle, that if anybody comes to you and does not bring the gospel of Christ, not to even receive him, and certainly not to encourage them on their way. In the second epistle of John, it says there in verse 9, Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That's the clear indication that they might be preaching and they might be serving and they might be traveling over land and sea, as Christ spoke of the Pharisees. They crossed land and sea to make one proselyte, but that one proselyte becomes twice fold the child of the devil. It's a double condemnation because they're getting people to believe that somehow by following these preachers and their commendations and works that they're saved. They not only don't see their own sin, but now they've got a false righteousness. It's not of God. So that's pretty strong. It abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is not of God. Hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So Paul's speaking here of those that abide in the doctrine of Christ. That doctrine, that word means teaching. That gives Christ all the glory in all things to the glory and honor of the Father. And he says, if there come unto you and bring not this doctrine. So it's not even coming and talking about your work. No. If we open this mouth in any way in a congregation assembly, it is to declare Christ. It says, receive him not into your house. The congregations in the day met in houses. And he's speaking specifically there. If I had someone come by my house, of course I'm not going to let them in. We get those kind all the time that want to propagate their false teachings, and I've never let one in, nor have I taken their material. But again, I use it as an opportunity to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've found that they don't come back. Once your house is targeted as being, well, if you go there, then you're going to hear their doctrine, but they won't receive yours. Well, that's the way it ought to be. They need to hear Christ. But don't receive them into your house. If someone came and was hungry and thirsty, I would give them something to eat or drink, but I wouldn't in any way encourage them in their false proselytizing. It says receive them not in your house, but many of these congregations met in houses, so it's more particularly in the sense of don't give him place in your assemblies where you meet. Neither bid him Godspeed. You don't say to them, well, God bless you in your work. No. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker, notice, of his evil deeds. These are workers of iniquity, as are all who preach anything but Christ and him crucified as God's message, God's salvation. And so, it's in this context here, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, that Paul is speaking when he says, let him that is taught in the word. So that's speaking of the hearers, that those that benefit from the word being preached, let them, or let him communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I can tell you that the work of the ministry that the Lord is doing through my preaching is sustained. I don't make pleas for money. Like you hear some of these preachers, they get these things started and now they got to keep it going. If the Lord hasn't provided through this simple means of those who are hearers, giving to and supporting one who's preaching the gospel, then we don't go there. And I can tell you over the 30 plus years that the Lord has had me preaching this gospel, I've never asked for or begged for a dime. And yet, the Lord is sustaining not only me, but the ministry by the gifts of those whose hearts He touches. And therefore they give because they've been blessed by the ministry of Christ. And that's what that means there in verse 6. Unto him that teacheth in all good things. So, the study, the preparation, the teaching of the word of God, that is the ministry of one that God has established in the gospel. What Paul is saying is worthy of that support. To give to such a one, it's much like the priests in the Old Testament. They did not go out laboring and working, but were sustained by the gifts that the people brought, whereby they might give themselves wholly to the ministry of the gospel. Now that doesn't mean that a preacher is not to work. In fact, I believe it's a good thing that a preacher does. There are a lot of lazy preachers today. And they're sitting around talking about how good their golf score is. I don't know if you're into golfing, but you don't have a good golf score unless you go out there every day and take a swing. And the reason their golf score so good is that is what they do more than time spent in the Word and preaching and teaching. The ministry is that which is dedicated wholly to the preaching of Christ. But at the same time, Paul himself said that so as not to be at the charge of any one person or congregation, that he labored with his hands. And he says labored more than they all. In other words, he gave the example of what it is to go out and earn a good living and still preach the gospel. And I dare say that those times that he was in the marketplaces where he was working with his hands and different ones were brought his way, where he had opportunity then to declare Christ, was a whole lot more profitable than sitting in some office somewhere and waiting for somebody to come by. And as the Lord has taught me and directed my life, yes, there are those that sustain and support this work and this ministry, and even myself and my family, and yet that does not mean then that I'm not going to labor and I'm not going to work. It's not out of a desire to have more income. No, but it's for the purpose of being out in the world. And as I go out every day and go to work, I meet people I never would have met otherwise. And even now that we have live streaming and the ability for people to watch, I can't tell you how many opportunities that has opened up. For me, as different people recognize me wherever I go and they tell me, we watch your preaching over the internet. And it's an opportunity to point them to Christ, and some do come by as the Lord directs and do worship with us. But the point here being is that we're not to ignore. If the Lord blesses the teaching of preachers to us, we're not to ignore, to take care of them and do so liberally as the Lord directs. But I'm not going to be one to stand up and tell people, well, this is what we need and you need to be giving. That's all part of religion. It's the Lord that directs as he will in the hearts of those who hear. And so they give. And so that's why Paul said, let him that is taught in the word. This is the context here. One that has been taught, not just by ear, physically, but taught of Christ by the Word. As one is taught of Christ, who is the Word, let them communicate. It's in this sense of care for. It doesn't always have to be financially. Let them communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I can't tell you what an encouragement it is when some just call me up and say, the Lord has placed you on my heart, and I'm praying for you, brother. And nowadays, with text and other means, it's such an encouragement when out of the blue, suddenly you get an email or you get a text, and the Lord has placed me on their heart to remember me in the preaching and the teaching and express their appreciation. See, even that is communicating unto him that teacheth in all good things. We're thankful that the Lord has raised up a preacher of the gospel that's going to every time declare Christ to us. And as one man told me, it's so nice to sit and listen without having to feel like you're dodging bullets, because you never know what's going to come out of the preacher's mouth. Now, any that God has established and God has raised up, you don't have to guess as to the message that they're going to declare. It's going to be Christ and him crucified. Who he is, why he came, and what he accomplished, and for whom he did his great work of salvation, of redemption, of justification, and where he is now in glory, sitting, reigning, the work being complete. What a glorious message to sinners. They don't want to hear anything else that the Lord's taught them. So That being the context, and we're talking about sowing and reaping, that's why it says here in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, we're not to be deceived by a covetous heart or by false teachers. Our God is not to be mocked in withholding those things that would be for the benefit of his true ministers. Even when Christ sent out his disciples, this was the standard, that whatever house you go into, if they receive you, stay there. That receiving into their house, even providing a meal or a place to sleep, because of the love that the Spirit had given them for Christ, the message that they announced, then they were to remain. But if not, they were instructed to shake the dust off their feet and move on. And so any that are taught by one of Christ's servants and people refuse that message, they cannot do that without consequence. That's what it means here. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. That antagonism toward one that is preaching the gospel is in reality flying in the face of God. Because the one message that God delights to hear is that of his Son. That's all that he delights to hear. That's why when Christ was on earth, three different times, he caused his voice to be heard and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. So people cannot think, well, I don't have to receive a gospel preacher. I don't have to hear a gospel preacher. And not think that somehow that's not mocking God. It's like the children of Israel, where the Lord told them that they loathed the manna that he gave them each day. That was a picture of Christ. And they suffered the consequences as a result, because that was just a sign of their hardness and unbelief. And it's the same thing with people today. They'll go down the road and support a false preacher that's not preaching Christ, and yet they'll have nothing to do with one in that same city that the Lord has raised up for the good of his elect. And so because of that covetousness or ingratitude or even indifference, I say all the time that people are held accountable not just for what they hear, but what they could hear. There are vehicles driving by where our church building is every hour. And some people will even comment as a result of these times of preaching. They say, you must be near a main road. Those are vehicles driving by. And there's a sign out there with nothing but the word. It's a digital sign. Nothing but the word of God. We change it out every other week. And so, yet people drive by. They're not just accountable for what they hear, but what they could hear. And that's an indifference that many have today. They prefer to go to their places of worship, even though they're not hearing the gospel of Christ, and they'll support men's ministries and their pleas for more money and bigger buildings and bigger budgets and all these things, but won't even give the time of day to stop and to hear one that the Lord has raised up and is clearly doing nothing but exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's in that sense that Paul here is using this description that God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's in this sense that if one is being communicated through the teaching and preaching of Christ, this word of Christ, then any giving that is done, that's in the sense of sowing. That he shall also reap. He'll reap the continued blessing of that minister because of the gifts being able to continue to preach the gospel. And there's no greater blessing to a people, a city, or a nation than that the Lord would raise up even one preacher of Christ amidst all the other false preaching going along. So Paul is using this to encourage those that are the Lord's to give. And that if a man sows nothing, he reaps nothing. That's true in life. But it's also true in the ministry. How is it that we can continue to operate the way we do with cameras and with internet or taking care of a building or producing books and getting them out into the world that exalt Christ? How can that be unless people support the work and support the ministry? But I'm not going to be one to insist that people give. We don't have an offering plate. There's a box in the back on a table that often people come in and say, well, if somebody wants to give, where do they give? Just put whatever the Lord has laid on your heart back there in that box. And I've had some that are amazed and astounded because what we have is paid for. And they say, I don't know how you do that without making money an issue, as do false preachers. That's not our message. It's Christ. And the blessing here is in knowing that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's not the amount that one gives. If anybody just gives even a dime, they do so because they love what they're hearing and they want this gospel to continue. And the reaping, just like in everyday life, you sow it, you reap it. The sowing of that by means, the reaping is the blessing and benefit of God. So this is not a works message, but this is showing how God uses means to bless those that hear, and in return, out of love for the one who's preaching, out of love for the one that he is preaching, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, their hand is open and they give in whatever way the Lord directs them. So that's the context that we see here. And in verse 8, again, it's using parallelisms here. In life, if a man sows to his flesh, he'll reap of the flesh corruption. In other words, if all you do with your money is to build material things, more houses, newer cars, better clothes, education, all these things, if that's all you're doing is contributing to these things, just know that none of those things are permanent. That's really what Paul is saying here. And devotes his entire life just to things. Just know that all these things are going to pass away if we're just trying to provide for material things. Yes, it will reap dividends of the flesh. That's just a principle. My dad used to tell me that. He said, son, the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary, because S comes before W. But there's a principle of work that if we go out and work and labor, we're going to reap the fruits of those labors. That's how God has purposed to bless us with what we have. But just know that if that's all your focus, if all you can think about is yourself and providing for yourself, and sooner or later, the time's going to come, you're going to leave all that. That's why I say we really don't own anything. Everything we have is lent to us. The proof is that when we die, we leave it all here. And so he's using this parallelism that if that's all your focus is in things of this life, to build bigger and better, just like in the proverb or parable that the Lord gave of the man who desired more and more, building bigger and better barns, and the Lord said to him, thou fool, this night your soul is required of thee. If that's the only legacy that you want as the fruit of your labor, then that's all you're going to get is corruption, a corruptible reward. as a result of that labor. It will decay, it's going to rot, and be like food with worms. That's why the Lord said, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where thieves break through and steal. So, what he's looking at here is that if a person who's taught of the gospel does take of that means whereby the Lord has blessed them with his labors and sows it, here it's described, he that soweth to the Spirit. In other words, that as the Spirit directs the heart, Scripture says that we're not to let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. There's why I say even all this teaching on tithing is so false. You realize that tithing is only mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament, and it's always only with regard to the Old Testament. Why did God require tithing in the Old Testament? Well, it was because that was the way that God purposed that that temple should be sustained, and that the priesthood would be sustained. And all of that to continue it until Christ came and fulfilled it all. Now, when you read in the epistles, it's no longer about tithing. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, speaking of giving, says to them, let each man give as the Lord has directed and so purposed in the heart. And so that's what this means here, that he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What is it to sow the Spirit? As the Spirit directs the heart and causes one to use his time, use his energies, use the strength or even the substance of what he has for the furtherance of the gospel and the glory of Christ, those have everlasting results. It's not saying here that if you do these things, then you're going to reap rewards in heaven. No, but as the Spirit directs us to give and communicate and support those preachers of the gospel who are faithfully declaring him, and the fruit of those ministries is the calling out of those sheep for whom Christ died. What a blessing. Now we're talking about reaping everlasting results, life everlasting, things that are for eternity and not just for this life, temporally. I'm so thankful that my life does not subsist just in making a living. And yes, the Lord has blessed abundantly. I live very comfortably, as opposed to many that I see and encounter every day that have little or nothing and therefore depend upon. You know, if the Lord has given you any kind of subsistence, thank him, because it's God who makes rich and he makes poor. And so none of us can say in the end, well, I live comfortably because I work harder than the next guy. Now that's self-glory. I am what I am by the grace of God. But if, as I often say when I get back to the house, I'm so thankful that just working and laboring is not all there is to life. My greatest joy is who Christ is and how he's been pleased to reveal himself in me. And as he gives utterance, then I'm blessed to give to others and even support the ministry, myself, with what the Lord blesses me with. So this is describing then how by the Spirit, because that's what he that soweth to the Spirit, what's the Spirit's work but to point us to Christ? So by the Spirit, in other words, the spiritual blessing of being able to give and to use what talents the Lord has given us to the glory of Christ, knowing that that has to do with life everlasting. There's more to this life than this world. This world is passing away. What's vital is eternity and the joy of knowing that as the Lord has been pleased to bless me spiritually by His Spirit, teaching me of Christ. And as I communicate that to others, that God is going to use that to His glory, so that in the end, throughout eternity, there will be that great number of sinners around the throne singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." It's all about the Lamb that was slain. And so he says, for that reason, let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes it can get discouraging. It seems like that a lot of arrows are shot in the preaching of the gospel with few visible results. But we're not to be discouraged and think, well, then why even support the gospel preaching? Why even preach? Someone reasoned that way, if so few are going to benefit. No, it says we shall reap. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season means in God's time. And it may not be in great numbers. This is how I'm blessed. Even this past 2 weeks, I have received some communication from some people that I didn't even know were listening and knew nothing about, and they've informed me that they've been listening for a number of years, and the Lord directed them at that time, had me on their mind and heart to write just to say they're praying for me and that they're blessed in the hearing of Christ, and they express that they're in places isolated where there are congregations, but they can't hear Christ preach. He's not being preached. And so they're rejoicing, even through this technology, of being able to hear Christ proclaimed. I know here in our congregation, we meet in small numbers, and it varies from time to time. Sometimes the house is full, and sometimes it's two or three gathered. But even there, the Lord says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And so we don't give up. I remember one time where it was just my family that showed up for worship and no one else came. And my children at that time, when they were still at home with me, were questioning me, "Well, Dad, why are you putting all this effort into preparing and preaching? And it's just your family." Well, there again, if I were to give up and walk away and say, "Well, you're right, the Lord must not be working," I'm thinking that's an opportunity, an unusual opportunity, just to preach to my family. They're hearers, and may God be pleased to bless in their heart. That's what Paul is talking about here when he says that we're not to be weary, get weary of doing that which is to the glory of Christ as he directs, because in due season we shall reap. It's not that we've done anything, but in his time. When the gospel's preached and set forth, it's like a seed. We don't know how God's going to be pleased to bless it or where he'll direct it. It may not be immediately. I've had some to communicate with me that have listened to messages that I preached many, many years ago, and I'd long forgotten. And there they come across the message and they hear it, and the Lord makes it a blessing at that time. And again, they communicate with you to let you know what a blessing it is. That's the reaping that is the joy of those that preach, but also the joy of those that hear, to know that they're communicating to a minister and a ministry where the gospel is preached. So let's not be weary, and let's not be numbers driven. Let's not think that because we don't see an immediate response that somehow it's falling on deaf ears. Well, the gospel does fall on deaf ears until the Lord opens those ears. And so that's what Paul is encouraging even these Galatians, not to be discouraged even with the fact that he was in prison for the gospel's sake. Some might look at that and think, well, what good is that? Now the preacher himself is bound. Well, the preacher might be bound, but not the word. And they, even from prison, this is how Paul is writing back to these churches and communicating with them, encouraging them to continue to look to Christ. It's in God's time. When it says in due season, it's just like certain fruit. It will only bear in certain seasons. If you've gone to the grocery store, sometimes you'll ask for cherries, and they'll say, well, it's not in season, or avocado, it's not in season. That's the way it is with the ministry of preaching the gospel. It's in God's time. And we may not even see the fruit of these labors in this life. Some of us that have concerns and for our loved ones and our family, we're preaching the gospel for them and talking to them of Christ. The Lord may take us out of this world before we would ever see that perhaps that seed God has been pleased to bless, but it's going to be in His time, long after we're gone. And I often say that's a good thing, because then we can't glory in it. It's going to be in God's time. And so, let's not be impatient. Let's not be as the world putting numbers up there. You see some of these places of worship that got up behind on a board. How many attended that day and how much money was given and how many visitors. See, that's all count means. But it means nothing. Because everybody in attendance that day could have come, some even giving, and yet be Christless. The Spirit not having yet opened their heart to Christ. And so, waiting on the Lord. That's what Paul's saying here, waiting on the Lord. And then the final verse we're going to consider here in verse 10. He speaks there as we have therefore opportunity. You don't create the opportunity. It's God that does that. The open door. That's how Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, praying that God would open that door, even while he was in prison, that the gospel might run freely as the Lord directs. And so as we have opportunity, we don't force situations. Sometimes we'll invite somebody to come hear the gospel and we think, well, all right, this is when they're going to hear. Well, it's an opportunity to hear. But any result of it is going to be of the Lord. But just because God is the one who determines that we're not to be hardened or indifferent towards speaking to Christ of those that we're with, as we have therefore opportunity. There's times where it's time to speak and there's times when it's time to be silent. But the Lord directs even in that. The important thing is as He gives the opportunity, when He says there, let us do good unto all men. In other words, we're not to try to profile or determine whether somebody is one of the elect or not. That we do good unto all men. The word good there is the word for God, as God directs. That good can be simply showing kindness unto those that the Lord brings across our path. But in all of that, He says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Those are our true loved ones. Those are our true family. And so, whether strangers or neighbors, believers or unbelievers, as the Lord gives opportunity, we care for them. We encourage them. We assist them as we are able. But above all, we point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially if it's one who is of the household of faith. Here comes full circle. Especially one that is raised up of the Lord to preach and teach and communicate the word unto us. Or even in our communion with one another, as we share with one another our burdens, and that's how this chapter began. Whether it be somebody that's overtaken a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such an one. Speaking a word in season. These are all ways that we particularly care for one another in the household of faith. That is, the ones that the Lord has redeemed and called unto Himself. That we share one another's burdens because of the love and the care that the Lord has given us for each other. There's nothing that is sown in vain when it comes to this matter of serving Christ and testifying to His glory and honor, because the Lord is going to bless it as He will. Often referred to the young lad that to feed the multitudes, the Lord took his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And yet we don't see a complaint, because in the Lord's hands, He would use that to bless it in a way that that young lad could never imagine, to feed the multitudes. And so it is with regard to the work of Christ, that it's not a matter of giving a lot, but using what we have as the Lord directs, and not out of desire for reward or being seen of men, but doing it for Christ's glory, that nothing done by Christ's direction and to His glory is ever in vain. He's going to bless it in His time and His season as He pleases. Oh, may the Lord use this word to be an encouragement to us. Amen.